speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The word respect has a meaning of this feeling of admiration. There are people that we look to and we hold in high regard because of their position in life, or maybe because of the various ways in which they have been a part of our life or impacted our lives. We hold these people higher than we might hold other individuals. To have respect is important, but to act in respect is also very significant. To act in respect is to act or to be respectful. It deals with our attitude towards people as well as various situations that we might come in contact with in life. It deals with the inner person as to who we are and the way in which we will allow ourselves to be displayed in the presence of others. You see, it deals with our behavior and our actions. And God says a lot to us as His people about our need to be respectful in regard to the way in which we deal with people as well as with their property and other things in life. We live in an age today that is very challenged when it comes to respect or being respectful. We live in an age today where people are rude. I remember whenever we were living in the Northeast, and I told Dawn when we were anticipating our move here is that I couldn't wait to get back down to the South to where people are respectful, where you have that good old Southern hospitality. And in the church, we find that that is indeed true, is that the church, for the most part, still has respect, and they still have that Southern kindness that certainly we were anticipating upon our arrival. But what I find is that if you get outside of the church, usually you do not find that. In fact, it is a very rare thing. Our teachers deal with kids who are disrespectful in the workplaces. We all face individuals who are disrespectful, and out in society itself, we deal with people who can be very rude. And as a result of what we experience in life, then we can become a part of that. We can easily adapt to becoming an individual who is ungodly and rude and disrespectful. And God warns us against such. And God wants you and me to not go according to the way of the world, but rather to align ourselves in a respectful manner as a Christian, as a child of God who will properly represent Him. To whom should we display respect? The Bible identifies in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 that we are to honor all people, and therefore every person that we meet, we ought to be respectful towards. We ought to hold a sense of respect for these individuals. Why should we hold respect for every person? Friends, every individual that you and I come in contact with, whether we know them or if we just come in an acquaintance with them through a mere passing in life, we need to understand that they are a soul that has been created by our God. And therefore, as we think about being respectful, honoring all people as God commands us to do, well, what is it that we ought to do in regard to dealing with all people? We need to speak in a truthful manner to make sure that we are being honest with people, but also whenever we find things that they are not doing right, things that maybe they have done against us, or certainly things that they have done in violation to God's law. We need to be people who understand what God expects, and then we point these things out. But at the same time, as we speak truthful with people, with all people, all of humanity, not only should we speak truth to them, but we need to address things in a tactful manner, in a diplomatic manner, not just saying what is on our mind, not just saying what first comes to mind to respond to somebody, but rather to formulate what God would have us to say in our presentation of truth so that we might be able to not only straighten this situation out, but also to have a positive impact, an influential impact upon these individuals to bring them to Christ. It also goes, though, with the way in which we serve our fellow man, or even whenever we're being served by individuals. When we are out at the restaurants, let's not act like everybody else. Amen? And somebody else, whenever they get the wrong drink, they might rebuke the waitress for that. And truth be told, the waitress might not have had anything at all to do with that. Or whenever something doesn't go the way that we think that it ought to go out in everyday walk of life and somebody's trying to do something for us, let's be very careful about having a temper about the way in which we will deal with people. Let's be gentle. Let's be understanding and not demanding when it comes to whenever we are served by others. But also, we will come across people that disagree with us. Have you ever done that? I come across people all the time, especially as a preacher, whenever I'm dealing with things from a biblical standpoint and people disagree with what it is that I'm saying. They'll say, I don't see it that way. And number one, within me, there's this desire to come out and to say, what do you mean you don't see it that way? And God does not want me, or nor does He want any of us to act in that manner. But rather, friends, He wants us to, number one, not be judgmental, to make sure that we're not using our opinion, but rather we're using the Word of God, that we're using the standards that God lays before us in our judgment of what every situation we are at a disagreement with people in. But also, then, we need to be gentle in our dealing with people. And I think about the way in which our Lord dealt with people who disagreed with Him. Certainly, He had he always was truthful with them, but at the same time, He was very gentle, very meek, very lowly, humble in the way in which He dealt with people on a continual basis. But you know, there are also some very specific areas that God says as to the people that we need to have a respect for, that we need to be respectful of. Authority figures. And I find it interesting that the Bible clearly, distinctly points out is that God is responsible for the establishment of three major institutions: the home, government, and the church. And in the home, parents deserve respect. Children need to treat their parents in a respectful manner. They need to have the right attitude and the right behavior or actions toward their parents. But at the same time, as parents, we also need to be respectful to our children and to respect them for their role in the home and to let them understand that we love them and that we want what is best for them, even whenever there are these times of disagreement. When it comes to our government, we need to respect our government. We need to respect those who hold the highest as well as those who hold lower offices in respect. And there are certainly things in this modern age that our president and others would say that they would hold to and that they would put even into law that we would disagree with. Why? Because not only does it violate us as a man or as humanity, but friends, it goes against our Scripture, against what God says we can and cannot go along with. And as a result of that, by all means, we need to express our disagreement. But at the same time, we need to present ourselves and to present things in a respectable manner to where we're not destroying the office, if you would, of where these individuals are. I'm reminded of what we have faced as a nation this last year when it comes to our police officers. Our police officers, and they're not alone. But what came to my mind as I was putting together this lesson is the display of disrespect that we have seen throughout our nation in regard to those who are in law enforcement. And this movement in regard to Black Lives Matter. And friends, I stand before you today and tell you that, yes, black lives do matter. But it's not only black lives. Every life matters. Whether you're white, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're black, African American, every single life matters. And for the most part, when we think in regard to those who are police officers in law enforcement, I believe that they are out there trying to do a good job. I believe that they have our best interest in mind. And if we will go along with what it is that they are expecting of us, then we will not face the consequences of being shot or taken off to jail. And in fact, this is indeed what God says in regard to the way in which we need to deal with these individuals. Note what He says in the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 4. He speaks early on in verses 1 through 3 concerning the establishment that God has given about government. And then He says, "For He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Friends, if we certainly act in an evil manner, then we're subject to the consequences that will come as a result of that. But go back up to verse 3, note what he says. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to their good, but to evil." And in all of that, he points out is that if we will act and treat these individuals with respect, in a respectful manner, he says, "Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same," from the same ones who are acting as an authority figure. If we treat them with respect, he says, then you're going to get the same back. What comes around goes around. Remember that old adage? And I believe God certainly points that out as we think in regard to these matters. But friends, also, God tells us that we need to treat one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, with a great deal of respect. The Scripture tells us that we are to practice in being kindly affectionate towards one another. Kindly affectionate. Affectionate has this idea or understanding about loving one another with it. And it's interesting is that he says that we need to be kindly affectionate towards one another. We need to pour our kindness into displaying the love that we are blessed to have, to share as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he goes on to explain, in honor, giving preference to one another. We are indeed to prefer one another, and respect and having a respectful attitude goes a long way in all of that. The way in which we look at one another, we need to respect each other. The way in which we speak to one another, we ought to come across in a respectful manner. The way in which we treat or we interact with one another, whether we're here or whether we're out and about, God says that we need to respect and to be respectful constantly each day towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And friends, the last on my list in regard to this slide here should not be surprising. Who is deserving of our respect above all? Our God deserves the greatest respect. God seeks our respect, and God certainly deserves our respect. The Bible explicitly tells us here in this context, fear God. And the word fear in the original language means to revere God, to bow before God, to understand who God is, that He is a Creator and that He is superior above any authority, any individual, for that matter, that we're going to come in contact with in this life. And therefore, in every facet of our life, we need to have an awe for God. And we need to exalt God to the level of which He stands, because He's exalted whether we place Him there or not. And we need to recognize where He is, and then to do all that we can each day to let Him know that we recognize that. But also, friends, as we would go about each day in our lives, to let others understand the love and respect that we have for our Creator. But then also, as we think about respecting our fellow man, we, in respect for our fellow man, need to respect the properties or the things that belong to our fellow man. And taking into consideration, we need to have a respect for our neighbor's property. In that, we need to be very careful and considerate not to covet what it is that our neighbor has, not to go after nor to steal, if you would, what it is that our neighbor has, not to destroy what belongs to our neighbor. And why would individuals covet what someone has or steal or destroy what someone has? Usually it's based off of jealousy. And God warns us about being jealous. We've got to appreciate what it is that people have worked hard for in their life, and as a result of what it is that they have worked for and they've gotten in an honest manner, we need to respect them for that, as well as to respect the property that belongs to them, even whenever it comes to boundary lines. The Old Testament Scripture talks about boundary lines in Deuteronomy 19 and verse 14. I'm reminded, and I was telling Dawn as we were coming over this morning, of a situation whenever I was growing up. I was just a young boy, and I remember a dispute that took place over a boundary line on my Papal Keys property and the one who joined them on the backside. I remember that my grandparents owned 81 and a half acres. We always got that half acre in there whenever we were telling somebody about it. And in that, this individual joined him on the backside, and this person, unannounced to my granddad, put up a property line fence on the backside of the property. And in according to the law of Indiana back then, is that both parties had to pay half of the cost of the fence. Well, this guy did not tell my granddad about putting up the fence. He put up the fence, and then he sent my granddad a bill. Now, you're supposed to work these things out before. He sent my granddad a bill, and my granddad said, well, if I'm going to pay half the bill, I'm going to know that he put it on the property line. So we take a walk down to the backside of that 81 and a half acres, and sure enough, this neighbor had put up a fence line, a property line fence line, about 10 or 15 feet on my granddad's property. You're actually supposed to go the other way, I think it is, if you're gonna weigh out the chances there. My granddad says, well, if he's going to put up a fence, and I'm going to pay half of it, he says, then I'm going to make sure that it's on the line. And the guy had to tear down all that fence. And of course, I was just a young boy, and my granddad says, and you're going to go down there and help him build it back and make sure that we stay to that property line. It might cost us if we do not do things the way that God says in regard to respecting what others have. And it will stick in the minds. I was just a young boy, and that still sticks in my mind what that neighbor tried to do in regard to my granddad. And that's only one story that I'm sure others could also share when it comes to matters like that. So when it comes to our neighbors, we need to be respectful in regard to their property, not to destroy, not to take what doesn't belong to us. But also, we need to be respectful when it comes to members and their property. When it comes to one another, the way in which we deal with each other must be in an honest and in a respectful manner continually, and not to covet anything that belongs to our neighbor, but also when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, our fellow Christians. We are in the same family. We belong to God. He is our Heavenly Father. And we love God, but at the same time, we are also to love one another. And therefore, this love that we have for one another says, I'm happy for what my neighbor has. I'm certainly grateful for what it is that my brother or sister has been able to acquire in life. And therefore, we're not jealous of those things, but we find is that that is the rule, and there are exceptions to the rule. There are indeed situations that come along where people covet what it is that their neighbor has, or in this context, what it is that their church member has, and even so far as to destroy the property or even to destroy relationships. I'm reminded of a situation we faced, a very sad moment in the church in Pennsylvania, where two members, a male and a female, were not satisfied in their marriage relationship. And in that, they took a longing and a wanting for one another, this man and woman, and they came together in an unauthorized relationship that is sin in the sight of God, and both of them ended up in a divorce. And in the divorce, then both of them have remarried, not to one another, but both of them have remarried other individuals, and they're in unscriptural relationships or marriages today. And I look at the doom and the devastation based out of that covetousness and not respect for the property, if you would, or respect for what belonged to that fellow members in Christ. And how that not only it tore their homes apart, but friends, how it also destroyed their relationship with our God. But then also, God identifies to us that we need to be respectful when it comes to public property. I wish I had a dollar for every piece of trash that's picked up along the four lane up here on the weekends. Anybody else with me on that? In Indiana, and I don't know about here in Tennessee, but in Indiana there was a $500 fine for people throwing trash out. Now, if you're hauling trash off and it blew out of your vehicle, that was one thing. The law enforcement officers would pull you over and say, did you know that you had something fly out of your vehicle? And the best thing to say then is, no, I didn't know that, even if you did. But in that then they would say, okay, well, go back and pick it up and you're good to go. But for throwing things out, then there was a $500 fine. I've been told that's gone up, probably upwards of $1,000. And I think that's justifiable. This world belongs to God. He has created this world. And He expects you and me to not destroy it, not to pollute the world, not to corrupt the world with our lives, nor with the things that we might have that we no longer need. It's not a trash bin. And I get so sick and tired of seeing people, and I hope and pray that we do not have anyone here in the church who does this, but I see this every single week. Sometimes it seems like every single day, going down the highway or out in the country, and somebody rolls down their window and they have a McDonald's cup that they're through with, and they'll throw it out the window. Or they have a stack of food that they no longer want, and they throw it out the window. And friends, that is polluting and destroying, causing an unnecessary work for cleaning it up, and an expense to our community that could go elsewhere and help other individuals who are truly in need. God expects you and me to act in a respectful manner when it comes to public property, but then also when it comes to respect of the church property. This lesson this morning has been requested, and in fact, the individual who requested it based out of the church property aspect. And in that, I thought, well, there's all kinds of other things that we need to talk about when it comes to respect. So hence, this is a whole lesson centered in and around respect, but we need to have respect when it comes to the church property. This building is a blessing to us. Amen? We are blessed that we are not forced to meet under a tent somewhere and out in the elements, especially last week, right? With all that cold and snow. It's a blessing and such appreciated in regard to what this congregation has been able to accomplish, not only universally in taking the gospel and locally in spreading the good news of Christ, but to be able to establish this meeting house. The church is the people, and this is a meeting house in which we are privileged to be able to come together and to worship and to praise our God and to study from His inspired Word and even to fellowship with one another. And therefore, we need to respect this building. And whenever we maybe leave things a mess, then we need to do all that we can to straighten up after ourselves. Whenever we find something laying in the floor, it would be in our best interest and in the best interest of the church if we not pass over those things, but rather pick them up. Why? Because every one of us has a responsibility as what even those who are cleaning would have a responsibility to make sure that the things are kept in a tidy manner. And oftentimes, whenever people visit with us, they will visit and they will gauge our friendliness. And we have a beautiful congregation in regard to friendliness and love. And people are constantly saying that. But you know, also they observe our building. And we want to put our best foot forward always when it comes to even their appearance of us as they would look at the building that we meet in to worship and to praise our God. So there are things that we need to think about being respectful of when it comes to property or those things that would belong to someone else. And certainly this building belongs to God. And truth be told, everything belongs to God. There's another area of respect that I want us to deal with before we close out this morning, and that is respect for proskuneo. And that's a Greek term. And I was trying to stay with peas, and I asked Dawn, I said, give me a P word for worship. And she says, I don't know. And I said, oh, I've got it. Proskuneo. Proskuneo is to worship God. And there are some things that we need to think about as we're worshiping God that we need to focus on from a respectful manner. When we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, we need to be respectful. As we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, we are to examine ourselves. Not to be thinking about other things, not to be looking around, but rather to be looking inward to our lives and inward to our relationship with God. But also we need to reflect back to the time of the cross and to remember what it was that our Lord and Savior did. And when we do these things, then take a proper examination of ourselves as well as reflecting on Christ, then we're able to partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy and acceptable manner. But friends, also, when we think about the proclamation of God's Word, when the Scripture is being read, when a sermon is being presented, each and every one of us need to be attentive to the things that are being presented, as well as to check book, chapter, and verse. As I stand before you, I preach and teach from the inspired Word, but I'm not inspired. And what I mean by that is that I have things that I'm sure that I say that from time to time, not intentional, that would be amiss. Look and make sure, and if I do, please point those things out lovingly to me, please. And sometimes I just misspeak. And therefore, we need to make sure that we're checking what the Bible says and studying beyond the lesson at our home and then doing all that we can to apply the lesson to our life. And that's all a part of being respectful during the proclamation, is that we're being attentive, we're checking things out, we're studying, and we're then applying to our lives the things that God expects us to do. But then also, in times that we are led in prayer, we need to bow before the great I Am. And to close our eyes, I'm big on that. Why? Because it helps me to tune everything else out. And to channel in on God. And then also to bow my head. Why? Because to me that is a sense of respect and an awe towards our God and our Creator. There are some places that I have been where people actually get on their knees. And in that, some people will say, well, that's a show. And if they're doing it properly and they're getting on their knees just out of their love and adoration for God, then I don't think that it is a show. I think that by all means, it's showing respect to the great Creator that we will someday stand before. But friends, also, as we lift our voices up in praise to God, whether it's Kent leading us or someone else, we need to sing with the understanding, know what it is that we're singing. We need to sing with enthusiasm, motivation, excitement, knowing that our God is hearing the words that we are lifting up as our voices come in unison, a cappella, before Him as He commands. And to know that if we do these things, He is pleased with us and glorified through our song. The same also when it comes to our giving, is that we give in a respectful manner according to the way in which we've been blessed. But as we give in a manner that not only would be the right amount, if you would, but that as we give with that right attitude, a respectful manner towards God that would glorify Him in every facet of who we are. It is a blessing to be a Christian. Amen? And we have so many responsibilities as a Christian. And one that will help us in so many ways is being respectful. Understanding that God wants us to be respectful with everyone, even whenever they're not respectful to us. Even to those that are our enemies, we need to treat them with a degree of love as well as with a degree of respect and appreciation. And maybe even we'll be able to gain them over, to win them over, to where maybe they'll not only obey God, but then they'll also be respectful. But we also have those things that we need to respect that belong to others. And to understand that we can't take what belongs to somebody else, and we need to also treat things well. Why? Because God expects those things of us. But when we come together in worship, we worship Him in a way that respects Him and also is respectful of each other as His children. Today, are you a member of the church? Have you confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God? Have you submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If not, you're outside of Christ. But you know, God invites you continually, if you're outside of Christ, to become a Christian. And that's what we want you to do today. We want you to consider this invitation that He has given us an opportunity to lay before you, that you might accept Him, obey Him, and live for Him. It might also be that we have a member here who is erring. If you are erring from God, if you are no longer walking with Him, if you are living in sin and separated from Him, we also want you to know that we love you, God loves you, and we invite you with this call also to come, and we will pray with you and for you, knowing full well that God hears our prayers and that He will forgive you and put you back in a right relationship with Him. And you too then can walk faithful before Him from this moment forward. If you're here subject to the call, please come.